Hello and welcome to Pain and Fromage, an occasional podcast about an ordinary middle-aged bloke and his cycling adventures. The episode you're listening to is part of a series featuring not one, but two middle-aged blokes, as Rich and Graham make the long journey from Paris to Nice on their vintage road bikes. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of Pain on Fromage. We are in Briançon, where we've just had a fantastic rest day. As you can hear in the background from the bells ringing, it's exactly 7 o'clock in the morning, and we are up and ready to head out. Day of Paris-Nice, we are heading for Barcelonnette.
Barcelonnette, oui.
And we are going over one of the great mountain climbs in bike racing, which is the Col d'Izoard.
Yep, indeed. And then we should be following that up with the Col du Var.
Col du Var, yeah. We've heard loads of great stuff about Col d'Izoard. It's meant to be, there's like a monument up there and a small bike museum. And the geology is supposed to be amazing. The rocks are meant to be really, really cool. So even though it's 7 a.m. and I'm feeling a bit kind of grumpy, we are looking forward to the day.
Yep.
As you can hear, it's a beautiful morning. Birds are singing. We had loads and loads of swifts swooping around the courtyard yesterday evening, which is really nice, and sparrows and stuff everywhere. A little bird nesting just above my head. I'm not sure what type it is, but and the skies are absolutely clear blue. Mountains are clear. Looks like it's going to be a really nice but very warm day. Quite a tough climb, I think, Col d'Izoard. It's averaging 8% all the way up 2,200 metres, Graham?
I think it goes to 2,360.
2,360, there we go. Oh, there's a little graphic in the window of the hotel here that shows the...
So we're currently at about...
In the heart of the Giants. Mm-hmm. Yes, Col d'Izoard 2,360. So, yeah, and from what I understand, it starts straight out of town, basically. So we thought we'd try and tackle it early in the day while the weather's still going to be... It's coolest before it gets really hot around midday. This after a lovely rest day in Briançon, which is a cracking little town. Loads of small bars and cafes and restaurants. We walked uphill to the old city where there's rows of souvenir shops and one of Vauban's forts at the top, which is quite impressive. So yeah, lovely rest day. Few glasses of wine, couple of beers, and now early start for Col d'Izoard. I'm just about to leave. Here we are on Col d'Izoard on this beautiful sunny day in the Alps. We are just below 2,000 metres with 5 kilometres to go, so we've done 14 kilometres and quite a lot of climbing already.
775 metres.
How many?
775.
775, there you go, 775 metres. And it's only 10 past nine in the morning. So it's great, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's been a nice climb. Nothing crazy taxing so far. So 5k and about 400 metres to go. So I think this last 5k is going to be a pretty constant slog.
Solid 8%
yep.
All the way.
Mm-hmm.
But this has been, like when you think of the Alps and in the summer, this has been the Alps in summer. It's absolutely perfect here.
Yep. I keep expecting to see Julie Andrews turn up.
There's been like little tiny villages. A couple of motorbikes. We haven't had many of those yet.
Yeah. Well, that's doing bad.
There've been conifer forests that we've been steadily climbing up. The road's been quite varied. Galibier was just a solid 8% all the way, but this has had some flat bits and some steeper bits, so it's been nice and varied. And we passed a little auberge at the bottom of the valley, didn't we, that had its own like glacial scoop and mountain. It was just like the perfect alpine scene.
It was indeed.
Absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
Here we go, motorbikes. I was about to talk about the peacefulness and the serenity of the climb so far. We just get a few motorbikes going past.
Instead, we could also talk about how discussing with couple of biker guys, and one of the guys saying on his older bike had a carburettor, gets to this sort of height, starts to struggle, and yeah, I think we're doing the same a little
bit.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, that's right.
It's, you know, the air is thinner and you can feel it.
Yeah, yeah, it is. But yeah, beautiful. Well, soon we'll be out of the tree line, I think, and onto the top. So quick drink break, we're going to get moving again, and update you again in a little while.
Absolutely.
Here we are at the top of the Col d'Izoard. It's 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning, and we are already at the top of our first col. And it's absolutely glorious up here. Blue skies, mountains all around. You get a real proper sense of being high up in the mountains here. It's quite emotional being here. Whole gangs of people here, people with motorbikes, a couple of people turned up in little racing cars.
Caterhams
are they?
Yeah.
Caterhams, says Graham. I mean, what did you make of that, mate?
I was lulled into a real false sense of security. From our earlier chat, like when we say we were at 2,000 metres, and I was like, this is going okay, I'm feeling good. And then maybe a kilometre and a half further on, just got a little ramp, and I just literally could not get enough air into my lungs. Gasping like some sort of monster.
It is a sensational finish though. You come out through the tree line and all of a sudden you can see the hairpin stacked in front of you.
Yep.
And the monument here must be about 20 metres high.
And
you can see that from the tree line and you zigzag up and it's wonderful.
Station, or?
I think it's a weather station.
Yeah, there's a weather station out there. Once you've got that in your viewpoint and you're just like, those last couple of hairpins.
Yeah, it's
and then
wonderful.
As I got to the last hairpin, or came around the last hairpin, there was someone on a racing bike coming up towards me. It's like, no, I'm getting there first.
Magnificent.
Mm-hmm. You suddenly get that little boost of, you don't know where it came from, but...
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Little bit of adrenaline.
Yeah.
Well, from here, we've got a little cafe opposite, so we're going to wander over there and hopefully beat all these bikers to coffee. Someone's got a collie on the back of their motorbike.
I don't know,
look at that.
They'd better do cake.
Did you see there was a collie on the way up as well, the photo?
I didn't.
The photo lady?
Oh, I saw the photo lady.
Corner.
I didn't see a dog, though.
Yeah, she had a border collie.
Yeah.
I got very excited
there,
from
going smile, and I'm just like, I can't.
Yeah. I'm missing Maggie more than I thought I would. So, hi, Maggie.
Yeah.
I know you can't hear me, but hello anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone's brought their collie up on the back of their motorbike. I guess it's Saturday morning, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
People must be coming up for the day and stuff like that. Glad we got here early.
There's a chap earlier.
Some German tourists that we saw earlier following us up.
Mm-hmm. We beat them.
Yeah. We weren't racing. Definitely not.
Never racing.
Right.
All right.
We're going to get some coffee and then we'll go and have a nice descent down for a few lemonades at the bottom.
And more cake.
And more cake. Well, we have just had a magnificent descent down from the top of Col d'Izoard.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely beautiful, especially the top part. The first bit that you come to is called the Casse Desert, which is kind of a barren space with like big rocks everywhere and all kinds of cool stuff and big valleys and that kind of thing. And you descend down through the villages, through the woods and all that kind of stuff. And that bit was really nice, wasn't it? Then we came onto the main road to bring us down into the village of Grieste, which we are where we are now. Grieste. Oh, very good. Excellent pronunciation. That was all going well at first, and then you got a puncher, didn't you?
I did, but like I say, not a lot you can do about that.
Not a lot you can do. These things happen.
Yeah.
We're going to have a bit of lunch in the sun here and crack on. It's time for the fromage du jour. And I really want a jingle for this. I want like a fromage du jour. It's the fromage du jour thing going on. But the valley that we've just come down is called the Coombe de Cuéras. And this is the Bleu de Cuéras. It's a cow's cheese. It is blue, as you can tell by the name. Are we going to give it a go?
Yeah.
It's kind of greeny blue.
Yeah.
Got a very interesting colour to the mould. Very soft. Hang on, I'm going to put my microphone here.
Cool.
Take that lump there if you want, mate. Hmm. That is what I think of as a good lunchtimey blue.
Mm-hmm.
It's not massively powerful, is it?
No, not at all. No, rich, creamy.
Mm. Very, very creamy for a blue.
Yeah. I mean, I've got the bit with the rind and even that, so not overly powerful.
Mm. Yeah, lovely.
Mm.
I don't know what I can say about that.
Mm.
It's a very delicious cheese.
Yeah.
€4.07.
A nice shade of turquoise.
Nice shade of turquoise, yeah. Mm. Well, we're going to stick this this delicious cheese in a ham sandwich. I'm going to have a drink.
Mm-hmm.
And then this afternoon, we are tackling the Col de Var,
mm.
which is the second big col of the day.
It's going to be a warm one.
It is going to be a warm one, yeah, that's right. It goes up to 2,109 metres. And yeah. We're about 1,100 here at the moment, I think.
Yep.
We've got 1,000 metres of climbing this afternoon.
Yeah.
So we're going to make the most of it, like the hottest part of the day. We're going to take it easy, get some fluid into ourselves, have something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And then, looks like it's quite a long climb, this one, Graham.
It's an interesting one. It's like one or two halves.
Right.
So you have an initial ramp.
Yep.
Which will be pretty steep. Then levels out for a little bit, and then ramps again at the end.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, that's quite cool. So hard bit,
yep.
Longer, easy bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then hard bit at the end.
Yeah.
I think we can manage that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good stuff. Well, let's get some lunch, get hydrated, and we can be on our way.
Definitely.
Good evening, everybody.
Bonsoir.
I hope you can hear the lovely bird song in the background from this great campsite that we found ourselves on.
More swifts.
No, they're swallows.
They're swallows, are they?
Yeah, yep. Yeah, they're swallows.
Well, there's lots of them as well, so it must be summer.
Yeah, wrong song. You see, if it was swifts, they'd be going squee, squee, squee.
Okay, it.
So, well, you know, we might see some later. We might do some ornithology. Mm. Anyway, yeah, we've arrived on a campsite. We ended up running quite late, which we'll tell you about in a little bit. We were whizzing down towards Barcelonnette, and we saw this little place called Joisier, which had a campsite. And a fete going on in the square, and the shop was about to close, so we made a sudden on-the-spot decision not to carry on to Barcelonnette, where the campsite was like 3 kilometres out of town, and the shop was about to close there too, and we were sort of racing to get there. And we just pulled in, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And just, this is the nice thing about having tents, is you just go, actually, we're not going to stay there, we're going to stay at this great place instead.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a lovely sunny campsite, surrounded by mountains, and some friendly people about, some of whom have already asked me about the bikes we've got, and yeah, it's just lovely.
Happy.
Yeah, yeah. The bloke opposite said, oh, you have a very old bike.
Yeah.
And I said, yes, I do.
And then Sherlock. Sorry, kids.
So anyway, how the hell did we get here, Gray?
When we last
spoke, we were having our cheese, weren't we?
We were.
And at that point, you'd had your puncher.
I had had my puncher.
We were a little bit behind, but it was going quite well,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, and then after the cheese, we went and had a quick drink because very hot. Needed rehydration.
Super hot. I had like 3 pints of water or something crazy, as well as my beer.
Yep. And then, we left. Rich, you were ahead of me by, maybe 10, 15 metres just coming out of the town. I heard a shouting noise. You said, oh shit. And then I saw another cyclist on the floor, basically. Rich was like bloody Clark Kent turning into Superman. Straight off the bike, straight out with the first aid kit. The man had
That's all it's useful, man. Carry a big bandage, because if you get a big injury, you just want one bandage. That's all you need in your first aid kit on the bike.
So the gentleman had a very deep cut in his left elbow, to the degree I could actually see the muscle. Sorry if you're squeamish. But worst of all, it looked like his hip had been basically smashed.
Yeah, there was something knackered with his pelvis.
So, do you want to just... I'll pass you over to Rich and you can explain what you saw.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was one of those that every cyclist just... It just makes you squeal thinking about it, doesn't it? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There was an old couple parked in a little car park that was only for buses, it seemed. And they couldn't see very clearly because there were some bushes in the way. And a cyclist came around the roundabout at a very normal speed. He wasn't speeding, It was just the kind of rate that you do. But they pulled out because they couldn't really see, so they just kind of went for it anyway. And I didn't see exactly what happened. I think that he tried to brake to avoid them and hit the curb
and went off his bike from there, but he may have like clipped the car as it pulled out, and he took a tumble, and his wife or whoever it was that was with him was you know, shouting and upset. And yeah, so grabbed the bandage and just
applied pressure
held it on his arm, and
to be honest, I think the pain in his hip was so bad that
he didn't even
notice the massive cut in his hip.
It was nasty anyway. So we stayed there for ages, didn't we?
We did. So because it was classified as a road traffic accident, there was a gentleman there. We're not sure if he was medically trained or not, but he seemed to be quite competent in what he was doing. He stayed with us and the gentleman and the lady, and called the police, called the local rescue service. And over here, basically the ambulance and the fire service basically acted as an ambulance service as well. They were there very quickly.
Les pompiers.
And yeah, very professional. Then the gendarmerie turned up. Because Richard seen or was a witness, he had to stay. He had to stay and give details. Meanwhile, we're sat in the sun, getting very hot, and knowing that we've got a
absolutely
big climb
no shade
to,
whatsoever.
Yeah, knowing that we've got a big climb to go up. So that was that.
I'm just draining pasta in the background here. Yep, if you can hear water sloshing about.
So, following the accident, we then had to take on the Col du Var. We thought it was going to be easier than our morning one. However, the weather and some pretty brutal early gradients made sure that it wasn't as easy.
It was a heat, wasn't it? I think we were a bit like deceptive about the heat. I think it was only about the gradient. Sorry, I think it was only about 6% on. 8 or 9% on most of it.
But it was so warm.
But it was the heat. But fortunately, we're quite smart, and we took some time to like get shade whenever we needed to, and just took care of ourselves.
As we all say, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So the first 6 or 7K, they were harsh. We then got to the small town of Var itself, and in the small town of Var, all the shops are closed, but there was a fountain. And the fountain has basically the purest alpine water coming down out of it. So we were straight to the fountain, filled the water bottles up, emptied our bottles down our throats, filled the water bottles up again. I dunked my head in the fountain, my head in the fountain and chucked my cap in there just to wet it. And yeah, we then went on to on towards the Col, and
it went on forever though, didn't it? Just like climbing through this empty ski resort just took forever.
I was about to tell you about the ski resort.
Sorry.
As we were saying, the area was in was full of ski resorts, and with it being summer, they're all like ghost towns. It's very weird.
It was really weird.
Yeah. So through Var, the ski area, and then there were maybe 10 people in the entire sort of village that we could see. And then that gave us about 4K to go to the Col itself. With about 2K to go, Rich went into, I've had enough of this, I want to finish this.
Just wanted to get it done, I was so fed up.
We also had to go past the Napoleon Refuge, which looked like a lovely place to have a beer.
I know. There just wasn't time.
Yep. No. We got to the Col itself, and the Col itself, to be honest, was, I'd describe it as functional compared to
There's some nice big mountain, there's a nice backdrop to it.
Yeah, but the Col itself
is pretty. It's a little car park, isn't it, really?
Yeah. We made it up there, and then we had to come down. By this time it was about 6 o'clock. We knew most of the shops shut sort of 7:30. 30K to Barcelonette, so it's like, right, we need to get down on our bikes with crap brakes. And Rich, who's usually quite a conservative descender, just turned into Tom Pidcock. And he was down and he was off.
I was really hungry, man. I just had enough of this bloody coal.
Anyway, so as I came into Jauzier's, whatever it's, Jauzier? I suddenly saw Rich coming the other way. And he's like, yeah, I've seen a campsite. So stopped, turned around. And he's like, what time's the little supermarket closed? And I went, 7. It's 10 to 7 now. He's like, right, you go get food. I'll get the campsite booked. And now we're here. Tents are up. We're still grubby. Pasta's happy. Just about cooked. But
way happier than I would have been in Barcelona with like 3Ks to go and find food and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. It's all here.
Yeah.
What beer have you got there then, Graham?
So I've got a Rance Cochin. Cochin is a pig. I've no idea what Rance means, R-A-N-C-E.
There's a picture of a pig on the label with a big smile on its face pouring beer into its mouth.
I wouldn't exactly call it trab juice. It's not a high-level beer. it's a blonde beer. But it kind of... It's a little guilty secret of mine. I like that one.
Sometimes you've had a day like today and you just need a strong beer, don't you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I've gone the other way and you chose an excellent wine for me with the help of the people in the shop. It's a Manoir de Manon from Domaine de Trébaudan in the Haut Alps. So I've really followed the terroirs around with the wines on this trip. Mm-hmm. Like, I've had wine from Sancerre, in Sancerre, and from Loire by Loire, you know what I mean? I know Sancerre is on Loire as well, but you know. And this is just beautiful. It's 100%, I sound like I've drunk loads of it already, don't I? Mm-hmm. It's 100% Merlot. It is really, really soft, but also very, very fruity. Absolutely delicious. And yeah.
And to follow my Rance Cochin, I have a La Couche Smash Triple. And here our beer triple, single malt, single hop, hence the smash. If you didn't know that from your brewing. So, dominates Vincent. A dominant something pour plus a more fresh aroma, and without the esters characteristics of the style. Round, balanced, and a taste of the aromas of malt and houblon?
Hops.
Hops, yep. Your final taste, all a presence firm on a material, basically, it tastes of alcohol at the end.
Nice.
But yeah, that is from the... That is from... here we go. The microbrewery La Couche, which is somewhere around here, I'm guessing.
Nice. Fabulous. Well, our pasta is...
A place called Embrun.
Oh, Embrun. That's the lake that we were going to go past, but we didn't. We went over Caldy's Wine instead.
Well, I'm a bit concerned that they've got a Best Before label of 2025 on it, and they put another label on top that says 2026, but I'm sure it'll be fine.
Be good.
They just ran out of labels.
Anyway, our pasta is ready, so we are going to split. What's the plan for tomorrow, Graham? We've got another big col tomorrow, haven't we?
We do.
Last one of the trip.
The Col de la Cayole.
Col de la Cayole, which I think is 2,326 metres.
Yeah, so just below the height of the Izoard.
Just below the height of Izoard.
Yeah.
And we've only got the one tomorrow, and it looks from the map like we get up to the top of the col and we pretty much roll all the way downhill to the... end where we're camping.
That's what we're hoping. Yeah,
and it's Sunday in France. Well, Sunday everywhere.
Yeah,
it's Sunday tomorrow, so the shops are going to close early, so we've got to try and sort ourselves food out early and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it should be an awesome day. Looking forward to one last big... I think two climbs in a day is like a lot.
It is a
lot. Doing one last big climb is going to be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things today that was good was starting early.
Yeah, it was.
It means the climb is quiet, so you have it to yourself, and B, if we'd been doing it 2 hours later, it would have been baking.
Baking hot, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully we can get an early start tomorrow and get over the col nice and early and whiz down and relax the rest of the day. Right, well, don't forget, folks, I say this every day, thank you so much for listening. I appreciate everybody at home tuning in and listening to how we're getting on. Can't wait to get home and see some of you guys, particularly the family, when I get back. Missing everybody loads and loads. If you're enjoying this, please don't forget to like and subscribe and do all that stuff that helps with algorithms. And there will be written versions of a lot of these on blaggers.blog, where you can also subscribe to the blog that I write on loads of other stuff as well as cycling. So please do that if you can. Right, we're going to say goodnight, eat our pasta, drink our wine, get on with some strong beer, and maybe go to a village fete.
Indeed.
Right, thanks very much. Bye. Thanks very much for listening to this podcast, and congratulations on making it this far. If you want to hear more, then please don't forget to like and subscribe.
You can also take a look at some of my written work and photography on my blog website, www.blaggers.blog. Theme music kindly provided by Abydos Music. For royalty-free music, check them out at www.abydos-music.fr. Thanks again for listening to Pain and Fromage!